You know, we said just a few moments ago, Carl, that I asked you if you got a couple of Valentines.
Yes.
And you got one from your daughter and you got one from your wife.
Correct.
And from your sisters.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I didn't get any this year. I mean, nothing from you. I mean, I didn't get a, you know.
I'm lucky I could find my way to the Johns.
You know, it doesn't have to be an affectionate one. It could be a bottle of wine. I mean, it could be something.
There's a thought there. No, you have a thought. I have, over the years, now, this is an interesting conversation. The whole...
We'll be the judge of that.
And so will our audience.
Yes.
But the people I've noticed as the years have now gone by, that gift giving is much more selective and not just a ton of gifts. I've noticed that of late, that their selection of gifts at Christmas time, and I try very hard to avoid my birthday at all costs. I have for many years. I just it's at our age, there's nothing to celebrate at this point. I'm heading in the wrong. I'm heading
yeah,
in the
wait, but there
I'm
is.
Heading in
you're
the wrong,
alive.
I'm alive.
Well, that's
I'm heading in the wrong direction here. But they're very selective about their gift giving, and that's what gets us back to the card conversation. The cards are so wonderful. They're so heartfelt that means so much more to me. Because I can read the words. My little one put so much time and effort into these cute little cards that she makes for me. It means more to me, and always has. And I try to tell people that. And I give cards, or I'll send a today, let's be 21st century, an email with a nice little design and all of that.
It's not the same.
It is not.
I don't think it's the same.
And I agree, but at least it's... It's more practical, unfortunately, with all my I have a large list. But it makes sense because it's targeted, though, to that person. It's not a general hello.
That I understand, but I didn't understand it until later in life after my mother had passed and I was cleaning out some of her memorabilia that she had saved up in the attic.
Oh,
you know,
moms do that.
In a box.
Yes.
And there were some of the cards that I had made as a child things that I had sent to her through the years when school, college, etc.
That
wonderful. She had saved.
Absolutely wonderful.
And mothers do that. But I also want to stand up for fathers appreciate this too.
They do.
I got one of the nicest notes from my son a couple of years ago on Father's Day, and which he remembered. He detailed all the things that were that he remembered that we did that were fun or that was a courtesy from me to him through the years. And I'll tell you, Carl, I've saved it. It was an email, but it's saved. You
to
know,
my
it's
point
not going to be in a box somewhere. But
to
but
my
it's
point
there.
About emails, though, but communication, when you communicate with a note, there's something very meaningful about it because you can read it at your pace and time. It brings a it's almost as if the person is there in the words and they're talking to you, but you're doing it at your pace. I always found that to be I found something very real about that, whether it be email today or though I haven't gotten one in many years, a letter. isn't that exciting? A letter vis-a-vis snail mail. I haven't received one in the last 15 years, but cards, yes, but not a letter. And I used to be a prolific letter writer. I used to love sitting down. I had my own designer stationery
yeah.
that I wrote. I was a prolific writer. I just loved it.
How is your penmanship?
Catholic school, very good.
Yeah, the Palmer method, is that what it was,
yes.
Do you recall?
Oh, Lord help me.
You know, they don't teach. I heard the other day they don't teach that anymore.
No.
I mean, but...
In parochial school, you could not graduate unless you passed penmanship.
Well, I'm not talking about just parochial school, Carl. I'm talking about today. Very few young students today in both junior high, and college have a penmanship. They all print.
They print.
Well, you need. I mean, what happened to script?
My little one is now learning script in this.
Really?
Yes,
you had a school that does that?
Yes, a Clinton Public School and in Clinton, New Jersey. But it's that old Little Red Schoolhouse. There's only 290 kids in the school, 1 through 8, which is small. And it's a perfect school for her. And it worked. We moved in that community because of the school.
Well, look, I went to a one-room schoolhouse
in
the fourth or fifth grade. My mother was the one-room schoolhouse
teacher. No, you had to be out of that class.
Oh, I did. Well, eventually I...
You had... No.
Within the year, I got out of that. Because, I mean, I wanted her to be my mother, not necessarily my teacher.
That's correct.
And she finally, I think, realized that as she talked about it years later. But having been to a one-room schoolhouse, it's really an interesting experience because what you do is you hear what you should have learned the year before, and you hear what you might be learning the next year that you attend that particular class. So what you get here is that old adage, you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them what you told them.
Right.
And, you know.
And you tell them what's coming up.
Yeah. And it worked.
It is what we've lost. And it's a generational thing, and that's just my opinion. What we've lost is a sense of proportion to understanding what is really important. And I do believe that. We have lost that in this country overall. There are places like where my little one goes to school and others around the country. And I visited them over the course of the last 5 years on my travels, as you know. There are some remarkable educational opportunities for some very, very bright children that may not have had that opportunity if it wasn't for these teachers who do a great job. But overall, I'd have to say that's not the case.
Well, I would.
It's the exception.
I would agree with you. I was at a meeting the other day where somebody was really venting on their child having to not get something that they need. And this was a child who was advanced. But the school system played more to those in need or those who needed special treatment or special education of
some, correct,
rather than trying to help advance those who have that ability,
yes,
to do so.
Yes.
And they were really upset about that.
Well, that's because we don't have an educational system that encourages as much as they should, in my opinion. And I must admit, I haven't seen all systems, but what I have seen, those that can, right now, they give them their head of steam and let them go. They teach them, but they don't focus on them. They focus on those that can't.
I think it depends on the school system,
yes,
and the budgets that they have available.
Exactly. And well, I put my disclaimer up saying I haven't seen all school systems. Those that I have, however, that's what I've witnessed.
Well, I want to take us full circle here because I started out this broadcast with you,
yes,
talking about Valentine's,
yes,
and I want to end it with that.
Okay.
So Valentine's Day was started not by the marketing card people today. Basically, it was who take advantage of our sentimentality. Anyway,
they do.
The early Christian church actually proclaimed the event to counter a pagan festival that had a little too much celebration and debauchery for the ascetic beliefs. Christian beliefs of the time. And now why they chose St. Valentine to be their champion, no one really knows for sure, but as I understand it, historically, it was a strange choice. Valentine, who became the saint and surrogate lover for this particular day, was actually beheaded for his Christian beliefs, and he became a martyr. So maybe, Carl, it's appropriate to name Valentine's Day after this particular individual.
Yes.
Because people tend to lose their heads over love.
Oh, my.
What do you think? I mean, it's a stretch. It is a stretch.
Okay. We're leaping over fields and bounds here, as they say.
No, it's leaps and bounds.
Leaps and bounds.
I mean, you're mixing metaphors.
I did it intentionally, but you weren't going to let me get away with it. I tried. The point is that... it's become, particularly in this country, it could be Saint Stanislaus or Saint Jerome. Doesn't matter what it is. It's become a holiday, a commercial holiday.
Well, it certainly isn't going to be Saint Carl.
No, it's not.
We know that for certain.
No, the church is going to stay. They're going to see me and go left or right, depending upon their particular belief. But I don't think it matters any longer. It means love. It has become a billion-dollar industry.
Oh, yeah.
It's big time. The things they do. But by the way, my brother went to the Waffle House with his lady. This is true. And they have a special event at the Waffle House. And it was wonderful, he said. I had to mention that.
What, they have a special waffle?
They have a waffle, and they decorate all the tables, and they have this...
The holes in the waffle were shaped like a heart,
or what? I didn't ask, but that the Spumante wine, which is terrible wine...
Waffle House serves wine?
Yes, they were allowed... Oh. Whatever's going... It was wonderful. He said, I loved it. Cider. He said, we had a great time. So the Waffle House got into the commercial end of this. Welcome to St. Valentine's Day.
You know, we've had a very interesting, innocuous conversation. Don't you think?
We just kind of got launched into that. I like it very much.
But we didn't plan this.
We just changed the topics as the show moved along, and I kind of love doing that when we have our Nothing segments.
What's coming up?
Coming up, Wide World of Stock.
Ooh.
New segment for us here on Smith Sabatino. Please stay tuned for that. And this is called Sabatino with Roland Smith. Smith Sabatino, Envision Radio Network. Stay with us.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So how about an easy way to get your kids to eat their veggies so they won't eat anything that's green and not fried? Well, there's a way. Here's the sneaky science of it. When it comes to eating vegetables, most parents cajole. They beg. Some even pay their kids to eat green things. But getting your kids to eat veggies may be as simple as renaming them. It's called stealth health. So instead of calling them carrots, ask your child, hey, would you like some x-ray carrots? Instead of playing spinach, how about would you like some strongman spinach? Also, simply asking your child would you like fruit with your meal gets a yes 70% of the time. What's the cheap psychological trick? To change a behavior, you gotta change the marketing. It works every time. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think Green. Harrison with you. A surprising cash cow now lies in a surgical procedure some doctors are employing to treat hyperactivity in children. There's been some evidence that hyperactivity could be caused by a lack of sleep from apnea or a sleep disorder. So doctors are pushing tonsillectomies, or the removal of a child's tonsils, as treatment for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. They say boys with ADHD snore more than other children, and that the tired body may overcompensate by becoming hyperactive. Some 50% of tonsillectomies are done because enlarged tonsils interfere with a child's breathing. But in these scenarios, what's left out is that sleep apnea or other disorders are often caused by obesity, and throat surgery for profit over dealing with a child's diet may not be in the best interest of any child. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.